Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The entire 24th chapter of Genesis is devoted to the wonderful story of Isaac and Rebekah. And so we give a brief synopsis of that story. In the fading years of Abraham and Sarah, their only son, Isaac, who by this time is about 40 years old, is not yet married. Now, Abraham had originally come from the land of Ur in Mesopotamia, which would correspond roughly to southern Iraq today. But all of those years as he lived in Canaan, Abraham had kept in contact with his family. Many years before, Abraham had obeyed the command of God and had moved from the land of his birth to Canaan. But now a wife had to be found for Isaac. And so Abraham sends one of his servants back to his homeland in order to find a wife for Isaac. The servant arrives in Nahor, where Abraham's people lived. The servant stops outside of the city at the well, and he prays. He says, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham." And then he goes on and asks for a very specific sign. "Let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink,' and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And as it happens, before he has even finished the prayer, along comes a beautiful young woman named Rebekah, who is the daughter of Abraham's nephew. And she does exactly as the servant had prayed. And so then the story is told from the beginning to Bethuel and Laban, Rebekah's father and brother, who consent to let her go to Isaac, as she is willing to do. And then they bless her with these words, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Words which may indicate that Rebekah's family understood also the promise that had been made to Abraham. Now that's the story behind the text, or it's the story that follows the text. Now, as you perhaps recall, this week follows the gospel account of the wedding of Cana, the first miracle that Jesus performed, where he turned water into wine. Our chapel devotions this week have been devoted pretty much to a discussion of marriage. Now, marriage is not the main point of that gospel lesson, because Jesus and his miracle, that's the main point. But the miracle of the wedding of Cana certainly points very clearly to the holiness of marriage. Marriage is holy, and Jesus speaks so of it. And he blesses that marriage of Cana just simply by being there. Now, does this text, at the head of this chapter about how Abraham found a wife for his son Isaac, say something important about marriage? Well, not directly. That is, not as the main point. The main point of this lesson and of this entire chapter is to record how the promise of the Messiah that was made first to Adam and Eve and very explicitly to Abraham was carried out by the Lord God in continual faithfulness to his promises. And what was the promise that was made to Abraham? Well, surely you remember it. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. In your seed, in your descendants, in your children, and their children, and their children. And that says something very important about marriage. From the beginning, God locates the generation of children, the propagation of the race and the nations, the preservation of the family of man in one man and one woman, united by the promise to remain faithful to each other and to no other until death separates them. And we even see that in this chapter. When Abraham buries his wife, Sarah, who has gotten to meet her daughter-in-law, Rebekah, and then Abraham marries another, to whom he remains faithful until he dies at the age of 175 years. And that also pictures how sacred and important marriage was in carrying out God's promise of the Messiah among his people, the one who is the Savior of all of the nations, comes out of the one people, the family of Abraham, the covenant people, God's chosen people. But furthermore, Abraham commands his servant to find Isaac a wife from among his own people. Not from the Canaanites, pagans, heathen, who had not been faithful to God as their creator. And as we hear, Rebekah's family and then the dying Sarah bless the marriage, we understand that the reason for this was above all else that Isaac should marry one who was faithful to the one true God, the God of the promise. Now, if there is one practical thing that this text speaks to us today, then, and especially to you as young Christians, it is that in marriage, you as well, it is important that your marriage be to one who prays to the same God that you do. That is, the God who sent his Son to be your Savior. The hymn that we began with tonight emphasizes that very important truth. That hymn is very much loved in my house because it was the main hymn sung when my wife and I were married. And we very often needed the comfort that's found in that hymn, which is a proclamation of the comfort of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our refrigerator and our bank account have never been empty, but we have been in distress, and we've known illness, and we've known uncertainty. But we've always known, and we've always shared, the same comfort, the comfort that came to both of us in our baptism, the comfort of the gospel in which we were both taught. And we have prayed to the same God and worshiped the same God in the same faith. And very often I don't know how we could have done it without that. There are many kindnesses that many different people have shown to me and my wife. And they have been people with whom we prayed to the same God. But even those kindnesses, as much as we appreciate them, Even as great as those kindnesses have been, they fade into insignificance. They're nothing compared to the greatest kindness that our Lord God has shown to us by being faithful to his promise of the forgiveness of sins in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the one who has nourished us with his love and his care, both in our joys and in our sadnesses. And that was the blessing that he wants to show to all of his children in marriage. And we see it in the lives of Abraham and Sarah so much, and of Isaac and Rebekah, and then in their son Jacob. We pray that God would give all of you such marriages, and that in your marriage he will strengthen you and encourage you through that same gospel of salvation in the Son of God that Isaac and Rebekah lived under. To him alone be the glory. Amen.